Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack also in studio with us, and we indeed find faith, family, and freedom to be important values for which the struggle is well worthwhile in this generation. And yes, faith, family, and freedom have dissipated a great deal in the Western world, and yet we are to hold firm to the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And indeed, freedom itself, such a value. If the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed. And these values to be celebrated on this 4th of July, Independence Day 2019. Bill, happy Independence Day 2019.
243 years of liberty as the beacon for the rest of the world.
And you're not kidding.
Indeed. I'm not. People risk life and limb. They go through all kinds of hazards. They give up security and to make their way to this country, either legally or illegally, because of that one word, liberty. It is freedom and liberty that draw people to this country.
Yes. And of course, the definition of liberty is absolutely crucial. It has to be defined by God's laws. God's laws must be the boundaries by which we lay out the appropriate definition for liberty. Otherwise, you're leaving it up to the liberals, to Joseph Stalin, for Adolf Hitler and others who define liberty in their own terms. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, he defined liberty in his own terms and developed the all-powerful bureaucratic state for the modern world. No. Liberty must be defined by God's laws. Indeed, America has great Christian roots, great Christian foundations. In fact, no other nation in the world competes, no other nation even close to America in terms of our rich Christian foundations coming out of the Protestant Reformation, the best of the best of the French reformers, as well as the Puritans and the Scottish Presbyterians, the Dutch Calvinists and others who came out of the Reformation. The distinctively Christian thinking of the Reformation turned out to be the foundations of this country in the 1600s and 1700s. And America still has more people believing in biblical creation, more people believing in Christian education for their kids. In fact, America is still the bastion for Christian education, Christian home education, more than any other nation around the world. By orders of magnitude, America is the nation that has sent forth the most missionaries. America is still sending forth more monies for charitable contributions to foreign nations and still supports more in terms of missions than any other nation around the world. A few other nations are competing, but nobody gets close to America in terms of our rich Christian foundations. And as Brother Bill just mentioned, the freedom and the liberty this nation has offered through the centuries has been remarkable, and tens of millions of people have sought out the freedom that we have offered as a nation.
And you are correct. You have to define liberty properly. I'm reminded of Alexis de Tocqueville, who made this statement: democracy and socialism have nothing in common but one word, equality. But notice the difference. While democracy seeks equality in liberty, socialism seeks equality in restraint and servitude.
Yeah,
I think we are a nation that is at a crossroads right now.
Big time.
And we have to decide if we are going to seek equality in restraint and servitude, or if we're going to seek equality in liberty. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
We have tremendous foundations for liberty that run about 14 feet deep in terms of concrete, but they've been using the gigantic jackhammers for the last 100 years to utterly eliminate any form of Christ, any form of Christian thinking, any form of biblical law as the foundations of this nation, largely through the universities, the colleges, even the Christian colleges, and the K-12 schools, of course, eliminating God, eliminating prayer, eliminating the Ten Commandments, eliminating all sense of biblical truth as the foundations, and the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge in American Christians' schools as well as public schools. And friends, the fight is on. And unless Christians begin to engage the battle for bringing the fear of God and the centrality of Christ back into the chemistry classrooms and the history classrooms, this nation is bound to fall, and liberty and all of the other blessings that come from freedom will inevitably dissipate. And we're seeing that, of course. But America has great foundations, rich foundations, wonderful foundations. And should we be honoring these foundations? A young man was asking me this question on Sunday, whether we should be patriotic, whether Christians should be patriotic. My answer was Christians should certainly render due honor to the nation, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, to God the things that are God's. We are to honor our nation. We are to render honor to whom honor is due. How much honor is due is another question, but we certainly are to render honor where honor is due. And certainly a gratefulness to our history. We have a great heritage. Take the Bill of Rights, for example, Bill. Just a single page, but how many people have been blessed by one page of 10 enumerated rights over a period of 240 years? How many people have been protected from 5,000 tyrant wannabes just because of a single page of 10 enumerated rights? You tell me how many people enjoyed liberty over 240 years.
Yep. Ideas do have consequences, and language does matter. And we need to choose our words and define them carefully. And we need to rely on the providence of God and His definition of liberty in order to provide true liberty for those around us.
Friends, give your children the heritage of the nation. Give your children the rich heritage of the nation. Be sure you give them the stories of the great Christians that formed this nation over 300 years. That's why we produce these books, American Faith, 27 sketches from Winthrop to Wilkerson. Render honor where honor is due. If God has provided rich foundations, Christian foundations, foundations of rich faith to this nation, give your children the stories. Tell your children the stories of what God has done through amazing people of faith over a period of 300 years. Be sure you give your children the stories. Otherwise, you're despising the heritage of a nation. So tell the stories. Read the biographies. Now, we've summarized 27 great biographies, the greatest biographies of faith for this nation in this book, American Faith, 27 sketches from John Winthrop to David Wilkerson. And of course, America in God's providence, our 1,000-page, 500-year history of God's blessing upon a nation. And of course, the undermining of that blessing by the rejection of God over the last 100 years. But the rise and fall of a nation that was singularly blessed by God is a story that needs to be told.
You know, it's interesting. In response to the young man who asked you that question, I'm going to quote John Adams. It is the will of heaven that the two countries, Britain and the United States, should be sundered forever. It may be the will of heaven that America shall suffer calamity still more wasting and distress yet more dreadful. If this is to be the case, it will have this good effect at least. It will inspire us with many virtues which we have not, and correct many errors, follies, and vices which threaten to disturb, dishonor, and destroy us. The furnace of affliction produces refinement in states as well as individuals.
And certainly we've seen that through the centuries in America. We're taking a break. When we get back, the worst moments in American history and the best. That's next on Generations. Stay with us. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case, a historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. And we are back on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson on this Independence Day, 2019. And we have completed two very important introductions to American history and the Christian heritage in American history. One for an 8th grade level, certainly a read aloud for the whole family, called American Faith. And the second, our gigantic American God's Providence. It's a beautiful 4-color coffee table kind of book. where you can introduce America's rich Christian heritage to your children over 1,000 glossy pages with some beautiful pictures and certainly readable. Lots of neat stories throughout the providential history of the United States of America. American God's Providence and American Faith, both newly released from Generations. Now, as I have completed much of this history, Bill, I've got some thoughts in terms of the history of this country. The worst moments in American history, days that will live into infamy, and the best moments in American history. So let's hit the worst moments. I would say one of the very worst moments in American history occurred in 1655 in Northampton County, Virginia. Now, you're not going to get much of this in many history books, but we provide it in American God's Providence. One of the very, very worst moments in American history was when an African man by the name of John Kasor was declared a slave for life as a result of a civil lawsuit in a court in Northampton County, Virginia, in 1655. It turns out he was enslaved by another African American.
Now, that does raise a question in my mind. So if we go with reparations for those who were slaves, who gets the reparations on that one?
And who pays?
Who pays? Okay.
Well, I guess they're just going to have to figure that out. But, of course, we've done a program on that in which the children do not pay for their father's sins and such.
Exactly.
So we don't need to go there. But that was the key moment in American civil court history in which the blight of slavery was set upon America. Friends, you need to know these stories. You need to know the worst moments in American history. 1655 in Northampton County, Virginia, an African man by the name of John Kasor was declared a slave for life as a result of a civil lawsuit. God forbid that should ever happen again in the history of the world. Well, then there's Buck v. Bell, another bad moment in American history. You remember Buck v. Bell? That was when eugenics was very strong in American history. And a woman who happened to have a slightly less IQ than apparently was required by law was sterilized by force of law by the Supreme Court of the United States. And you remember the famous quote from Oliver Wendell Holmes in the Buck v. Bell case of 1927. He said, three generations of imbeciles is enough. Now, it turns out Carrie Buck's daughter was of average intelligence and actually did fairly well in her school studies.
And the imbecile was sitting on the Supreme Court bench.
There you go. All right. Another bad moment in American history. The worst moments in American history. And you'll get this in America and God's Providence, friends, if you read the stories, the real stories, the stories that were occurring behind the scenes, the stories that are often missed by so many because they are significant stories, significant as defined by a biblical worldview. Well, President Franklin Pierce conducted seances in the White House, one of the most severe sins of the nation that opened us up for the Civil War. Now, that's not the only sin. I list all of the sins, including slavery, but this one often missed. The sin of witchcraft was brought into the White House by two presidents, Franklin Pierce first, and then Abraham Lincoln. So, again, one of the very worst moments in American history, and again, bringing God's judgment upon a nation. You introduce witchcraft to a nation at the very highest echelons of this nation's powers, and you will subject yourself to the judgments of Almighty God. Then the 1962 Engle v. Vital case, in which the Warren Court banned voluntary prayer in public schools. That's big.
Yep, because it was viewed as they kicked prayer out of the schools. What they did is they said it can't be state-sponsored or required. But people said, oh, you can't pray at all in schools. And so they took it even a step further. The media has won the day on that one. And Christians should stand up and voluntarily pray. Christian teachers should stand up and say, I'm going to start my class by appealing to the one who gave me this job. And it wasn't the taxpayer. It was God Almighty. And let's see what happens. And we need to push back on that. And it never has happened. So we get what we deserve on that. That was a terrible, terrible day.
The fifth worst moment in American history would be, and this is my call on this, Andrew Jackson's response to the Supreme Court ruling Worcester versus the state of Georgia in the removal of the Indian tribes from the state of Georgia and that resulting in the Trail of Tears or the first trail of tears. One of the saddest marks on American history, Worcester happened to be a missionary who had been arrested four times by the state of Georgia and pushed into slave labor because he was advocating for the Native Americans at that time. Worcester won the case, but the end result, Andrew Jackson's response to the Supreme Court ruling, Worcester versus state of Georgia, Andrew Jackson's response was, Supreme Court of the United States has ruled. Now let them enforce it.
Let them enforce it.
Yeah. It's a sad day in American history, friends. Again, a bad mark on American history. And I would say number six for these bad moments in American history would be Shivington's raid upon Sand Creek in 1864 here in the state of Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say that the seventh worst moment in American history would have been the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision. Think about the horrendous Holocaust that came about as a result of that, and the Supreme Court of the United States still upholding the Roe v. Wade ruling four times over the last 6 months. Shame on the Supreme Court of the United States. The nine persons sitting on that court today and the nine persons that sat on that court in 1973. Now, of course, there are some exceptions to that, but the majority went for the legalization of abortion. The result has been at least 80 million babies slaughtered by the abortionist knife and the chemicals that destroy babies. Will God be paying attention to this curse that has come upon the nation? I would say, yes, he's paying close attention to it. And if this nation does not repent, this nation is in deep trouble. And then in the 2015, the final, the eighth worst moment in American history would have to be the Supreme Court Obergefell decision of 2015. All right. Well, that concludes the worst moments in American history. Now let's move on to the greatest moments in American history. Now, let me ask you this. Should other nations be interested in what great Christians have done in the history of this country? Does the kingdom of God matter to other nations, other Christians from other nations around the world? Should British Christians read the great stories of what great Christians have done over the history of the United States? And my answer is yes. Should Korean Christians read these stories? Absolutely. We need to read the stories of the great persecutions that occurred against Christians in Korea, and they need to read the stories of what great Christians have done as missionaries, as scientists, as political leaders, as explorers, as military men, et cetera, et cetera. I think that Christians all around the world should be aware of great Christians in other nations around the world. Friends, it is the kingdom of God that matters, and indeed the kingdom of God is among us. And the kingdom of God has accomplished some really amazing things, and that's why I think every nation around the world should be aware of American faith. Every Christian in the world, every Christian in England, every Christian in Korea should be aware of what the great Christians have done in other nations around the world, including the United States of America, because America has had something of a great outpouring of the Spirit of God through the ages. I would say the number one favorite story that I find in American history is David Brainerd and his amazing missionary work with the Native Americans in the 1730s, especially with the Cross Weeksung revival of the 1830s. What a beautiful, beautiful story. I can't read the story without falling into tears, friends. When David Brainerd worked for 7 years without a convert among the Native Americans and then appeared amongst the Crosswinksung Indians there in Delaware, and he preached to them that one Sunday, and the Spirit of God poured out upon the Native Americans. It was one of the most important moments in missionary history, for one thing. And of course, it was David Brainerd and these revivals that were incredibly inspiring for William Carey and the next 10,000 missionaries that poured around the world. But it was David Brainerd and David Brainerd's diary recounting what happened at Cross Weeksung that changed the whole world and introduced an amazing missionary work that still has not decreased one little bit through the centuries and the decades. All right. Then the second story that I like so much that makes for, I think, one of the very best moments in American history, Bill, was John Quincy Adams arguing the Amistad case for the last Spanish slave ship that was attempting to slip a few more slaves into the Western world. You know, it was the Spanish that introduced the slave trade in the 1490s. And it was the Spanish that continued the slave trade against international treaties in the 1820s. But it was John Quincy Adams that argued the case to shut it down. And the drama, the sheer drama of the Amistad case is presented in American Faith. And Bill, I have immense respect for John Quincy Adams.
Yep. Old man eloquent.
Oh, man. He walked in, what was it, 78-year-old John Quincy Adams shuffled into this courtroom and argued the case in front of the Supreme Court of the United States, and you know a justice died in the process. And as he gave his concluding arguments, he said, "One day you will stand in the courtroom of Almighty God, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself will be judging that case. And what you do today will be considered on that final day of judgment." And he won the case against all odds. It's a tremendous story. The Amistad case argued by John Quincy Adams, one of the greatest moments in all of American history. You need to tell the story to your children on this Independence Day, 2019, friends. Get a copy of American Faith, 27 sketches from Winthrop to Wilkerson. And then the third of my favorite stories is the conversion of Nathan Bedford Forrest. Nathan Bedford Forrest was a hardcore Civil War general for the South. And
founder of the Ku Klux Klan.
He was one of the very first leaders of the Ku Klux Klan. And, you know, he was converted at the end of his life. He fell on his face in a bank of Tennessee, confessed his sins publicly. And then towards the end of his life, right towards the end, he was invited to speak to a group of African Americans, one of the very first organizational meetings of the NAACP, and he offered a universal apology. And then a little black girl came up, gave him a flower, and he kissed her on her forehead. And see, this is what God is doing. And people are saying, yeah, but we fight wars over these things. Hey, Jesus saves people over these things. And if you can't see the backstory in history, if you're not seeing what God is doing and what Christ has done in history, friends, then you're not going to delight in the works of God. You're going to be sitting there depressed over what man is doing, but you're never going to be excited and rejoicing in the works of God. So you got to rereading the backstory in history. George Washington Carver before Congress. That's a great story. He's testifying to the amazing, wonderful works of God. And George Washington Carver is one of the most incredible godly scientists in all of American history. I love George Washington Carver. He is a beautiful man with a testimony to God's power and God's wisdom. Nobody, no scientist I've ever known has had so much wonder and praise and adoration for God's creation as did George Washington Carver. And you got to be reading the stories of guys like George Washington Carver and his testimony, a simple testimony to the power of God before Congress in the 1920s. Incredible. Well, there's the Battle of Kings Mountain. I love the story. Do you remember how the British general said, God himself cannot remove me from this mountain? You remember that? Tarleton and those guys, they said, God himself cannot remove me from these mountains. So a couple of mountain boys from Shoal City, Tennessee. They're called the Kings Mountain Boys. They gathered together. They were pure militia. Okay, these were not trained men, but they gathered on Kings Mountain and they were able to overcome the British armies, and that was the beginning of the end for the Brits. It was God's providence that brought an end to that war, and it came about. The entire war for our independence was turned around on Kings Mountain. And it's a tremendous story. It's one of the best stories in all of American history. Or Increase Mather and his son escaping to England, who was being hunted down by the Brits, but he was trying to get to England so he could argue the case in front of the king to restore American freedoms. And this was really the beginning of American independence. But it was Increase Mather, the great pastor, the great leader of American faith in the 1680s, 1690s, that was able to escape from prison and work his way away from some of the bureaucrats that were trying to bring him down. And he argued the case for American freedoms early on, the 1690s. And that story was one of the most amazing stories in all of American history. If you haven't read it, you're losing out. One of my very favorite stories is Stonewall Jackson's Sunday school class. He had won a tremendous battle in the Civil War. In fact, it was probably one of the hinge battles in the Civil War. And yet that evening, he wrote a letter to his pastor. And his pastor was excited to receive this letter because he's thinking he's getting an inside scoop on one of the most significant battles ever fought in American history. And the battle that gave Stonewall Jackson his name and made him one of the most famous men in American history. So he ran to get the letter, opened up the letter, hoping that he would get something of the backstory of what happened in this great battle that was fought by one of these greatest warriors in American history. And Stonewall Jackson had written him a letter. "Dear Pastor, I was just considering this evening that I had neglected to send my support for the Sunday school for the African-American children in the town. And I'm so sorry. Please forgive me for neglecting to remember our dear little brothers and sisters who are studying God's word in the body of the church. Yours truly, Stonewall Jackson." This is one of the most poignant stories in all of American history. In other words, is the kingdom of God more important than the great battles waged by the kingdoms of men? Friends, these are some of the most interesting and engaging stories in American history. You've got to read these stories to your children. You've got to get a feel for what faith does to establish foundations for a nation that ultimately yield the kind of faith and the kind of freedoms that we have enjoyed through the centuries. What are these roots? What is the heritage? What is the great legacy that God has given to us in the great men and women of faith throughout the centuries? Read the stories to your children. Get a copy of American Faith, 27 Sketches from Winthrop to Wilkerson, or America in God's Providence, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. And don't forget, next week, we're planning a wonderful history seminar, an online video course called the Christian History Workshop that focuses on placing God's kingdom at the center of history and bringing Jesus the glory and the honor and the praise that he deserves in our homeschools. So starting Monday, we're releasing a free video course called the Christian History Workshop that focuses on placing God's kingdom at the center of history. And this workshop is happening all week next week. So you can join this free video workshop by going to generations.org/history. That's generations.org/history starting Monday. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.